Blog Talk Radio.
Tells the story. The scoreboard tells the story, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I shall give it to you slowly. The West Indies 197, batting a second time in the doghouse on 10 for 2. England been able to make another declaration, ladies and gentlemen, of this. They declared at 226, having made 369 in the first innings. And the West Indies are hoping that it will rain cats and dogs and pigs for the next, I would say, 10 or 12 days, really, if they're going to really survive this one. Good afternoon. I'm Andrew Mason, and for the next hour or so, we are going to be looking back at the day's play. It's the third day's play in the test match, the deciding test match between the West Indies and England. Roland Butcher, I'm already seeing your face. I know we got a special guest in Jonathan Carter who's going to join us very soon. And we also are hoping that we're going to have Kieran Powell on the show this evening. No Philo Wallace this evening. Maybe Philo Wallace is not happy at all. We'll go first to you, Roland Butcher. Your assessment of this day, it has been another poor day for the West Indies.
Difficult to be at the office for the West Indies. Obviously, starting the day 6 wickets down, needed to, first of all, avoid the follow-on and then try to make the deficit as small as possible. Able to avoid the follow-on, but really could not increase that deficit. And again, being rolled up from 200 runs. Pressure's on at that point. Obviously, England with a huge second innings lead, start their second innings. And then they were able to extend that lead to a substantial total. And then put West Indies under pressure at the end of the day. So overall, a very good day for England, a good day for Stuart Broad, but not a good day for West Indies.
Now, Roland, before we join Jonathan Carter, can we save this? Talk to me, Roland Butcher.
Well, I mean, I think you would have to be an eternal optimist at this stage. With 2 days remaining, and you've got 8 wickets left. I think the odds are very much stacked against West Indies at this point. I think you can afford to lose a day's play for rain, which probably wouldn't happen. You may lose sometimes for rain, but you're not going to lose an entire day. And still, you've got another day after that. So at this point, I think they're staring down the barrel of the gun at the moment.
Where did the West Indies go wrong today, Roland? Can you tell me?
It's not where they went wrong today. I think really, the way the game had panned out got them in this position. I mean, yesterday they were 6 down, so their position was not improved yesterday at all. Obviously, they had to try today to avoid the follow-on, which they were able to do. But once they gave up that deficit, really, you know, you're very much on the back foot. There's not a lot you can do. What I can say is that I think West Indies have looked very tired in this game. You can see that in their body language. And as you know, during the day, at some point, there were like 4 substitutes on the field. So that tells the story.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah. Okay, Jonathan Carter with that lovely cap on. Jonathan, I want to borrow that cap you got on there. You look as though you're ready to play some golf. And of course, Barbados, they've got the Sandy Lane golf. I know that Roland Butcher doesn't go there. That's too big for him. Now, talk to me, Jonathan Carter, about the day's play. Another disappointing day. And of course, Jonathan Carter would have played for the West Indies and very much a member of the Barbados team. What went wrong today, Jonathan? Well, I'm not hearing Jonathan. Jonathan, is your mic on? Okay.
Good afternoon. Can you hear
me? Good afternoon, too. Yes, we hear you loud and clear now.
All right. But I was saying, first of all, the cap is a cap that I have by the wall, actually, that I can actually put up for sale. And sell
it. Oh, really?
Only through the whole test, I think the West Indies guys are a little tired. I think it has showed some of the pacers, you know, have had a little niggle here and there. I just think that we allowed them to bat a little too freely. I mean, having not been bowling the amount of overs they have been bowling for the amount of time. I mean, it's a tough ask to actually go to England and perform under those conditions. But at the end of the day, as you were saying earlier, we depend very heavily dependent now on the elements that be. I don't think there's. I mean, you have Broad and Anderson. Their guys, their tails are up. I mean, they're hungry. A guy like Stuart Broad, who we've seen bowl very well throughout his test career, it seems that he has a point to prove here. He has been bowling very well. His pace has been consistent. And Anderson as well. Anderson has not showed us the real Anderson at the moment, I think. He's probably getting young, but at the end of the day, we have a superstar on our hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would appear so. Jonathan, you said the guys are looking tired. Do you believe we made a mistake? The first test we won, yes, it was a tight test match. England made changes in all three test matches. This may be hindsight, no, but do you think we should have made changes and freshened the team going into the second and third test?
I'm not one to speak on those type of things and basically say, look back and say, we should have done this or we should have done that. You know, at the end of the day, if things were different, I don't think a lot of us would be trying to look back at team selection and asking ourselves if we could have done anything different in hindsight. So my thing is, I'm sure that all of our bowlers were raring and ready to bowl. So I don't believe in looking back and saying, you know, suppose we had picked this person or suppose we had changed that. I mean, what's done is done. You have to work with what you have.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Okay, Kieran Paul, KP has joined us. Nice to see you. You're very much in England there. First of all, what's the weather forecast for the next 2 days? Is it going to be raining cats and dogs and pigs, Kieran? Do you know? All right. Are we getting Kieran Paul, gentlemen? Is he on? Is he mic? Can we hear him? All right. If we can get Kieran Paul on, we'll be happy. Just saw his face, but we're going to go back to you, Jonathan. And let's look at the start of the day's play. The West Indies 137 for 6. 137 for loss of 6. Holden, Dorridge started pretty well. But then Broad didn't come into the attack for the first hour or so. What is it about Broad that is giving these batsmen a lot of trouble? Because when you look at it, Jonathan, a lot of our batsmen are going out leg before.
Sorry, I think Broad's ability to more seam and swing more has been given a lot of batsmen. Our bats, a lot of bats were going, a lot of problems to be hit that speed for itself. I think, as I said before, the ability to both swing the balls and see it and consistently hit that leg. It reminds you of a guy called Glenn McGrath.
Yeah, indeed, yes.
Correct. He had the ability to swing, both swing the ball and see it. Not as much pace as the others, but a bit slippery. And his lines and legs are very, very consistent. If you watch closely, he is same here all in life. And he's always making the basketball play. There's not a lot of ball that he makes you leave. I think that he's always there and nagging at you. And I think that's the most annoying thing for a batsman, for a bowler, to have a bowler bowling at you and have an ability to swing ball and both see me and this.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've been joined by Kieran Paul, who's there in England. I hope you can hear us now, Kieran. What's the weather forecast like for the next day or so? I hope it's going to rain, catch some dogs, and fish. Have you checked the weather forecast, Kieran?
First of all, good evening, and a special good evening to you, Mr. Carton. How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
I'm good. One too, good, mate. Andrew, fortunately enough, I guess I don't necessarily have to check the weather forecast. I heard that it's supposed to be really bad, but again, I'm in London and West Indies are in Manchester, so let's hope that all of the weather around Europe, not just the UK, could head to Manchester for the next 3 days, just in case they want to extend the game and make it 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Now, look into that crystal ball. We know you have it in your bedroom there. Can you tell me, Mr. Powell, when you look into that crystal ball, Take your time.
I believe we can. Whether we will, that's a completely different story. Historically, everyone knows that 400 in the last innings of a test match is a daunting prospect at the best of times. We're facing an uphill battle. The most I could suggest is obviously take it session by session, the old cliches, try and build partnerships. Try not to lose wickets, you know, keep wickets in hand, all these great things, but it's not looking good for the West Indies.
No. Well, Roger Tracy is with us. Of course, you can send us and do your postings, Vibes Radio. Go to the Facebook page. We also want to say hello to all of our listeners on ABS Radio there in Antigua. And of course, we've also got ZDK as well. We want to say hello to all of our listeners down the islands there to WVent, thanks to Mr. Mike Rogers, who's very much a part of this broadcast. We're also in the British Virgin Islands, thanks to you, Mr. Andrew Fox. You've been telling me that the reaction has been very, very good indeed. And, of course, we want to say hello to our friends in Grenada as well on VFM and, of course, Vibes Radio, the champion station there in Dominica, in the nation's capital. So Leon Francis, our friend, says, the fat lady is singing Barren Rain for the next 2 days. Now, Roger Tracy, Mr. Butcher's best friend, we are on the back foot all the time. We won the toss. We have conceded over 400 runs, and we are not looking at history where you have a situation where a team, having won the toss, and you said it yesterday, they're at Old Trafford, you concede, you don't bat first, and you don't win. Now, when you look back at that, Roland Butcher, don't you think that's the kind of information that the people with the database should have shown, those who are responsible for making these decisions, Roland Butcher? Can you tell me?
I think first and foremost, Andrew, that comment makes no difference in the position of the game. We said it many times, and on the last game, you know, my thing was that the first thing you try and do with Trafford in this game is win the toss and bat first. But, you know, we made some errors there. I think our selection, I don't think was correct. We went for an off-spinner and replaced a fast bowler. I thought going for the off-spinner was fine, but we should have replaced the batsman. Then put the pressure on the batsman to come up with the goods. Instead, really what we did was try to lengthen the batsman and never really put the pressure on the batsman. We know that the batting has been the weaker part of our game. The bowling has been the stronger part, but instead of strengthening the bowling, we weakened that by playing one fast bowler less. That worked to the advantage of England, who brought in two fast bowlers. They dropped the batsmen, strengthened their fast bowling department. We won the toss, then put them in, and obviously they scored nearly 400 runs. The moment that happens, you know, you're pretty much out of winning the game. You may still be in the game, but the chances of winning are not great. And, you know, you have to go back. And somebody was talking about hindsight. Really, hindsight doesn't come into it. For me, from the very beginning, and I said it on the very first broadcast, I had a serious concern after the first game, after the exertion of Callum Gabriel, you know, what his fitness levels would be for the rest of the series. And I thought he had to be managed very carefully. The fact that he was asked to come out and do the same thing in the second game really caused us a problem, and England capitalized on that. And now you can see the tiredness within all the bowlers. And in this game, where you're looking for another fast bowler to share the load, you haven't got any fast bowlers apart from the three that you go in with. So we went in with three. England went in with four.
Mm.
Back there. Yeah. To get the job done, we tried to protect our batting, feeling that if we add more batsmen, it would make a difference. Really, no. Sometimes you've got to put pressure on guys. Say, listen, it's up to you guys to do the job. I'm not protecting you by having more guys. That causes you to also be a little bit complacent in that, you know, if I don't do it, he will do it. No, that's not your approach. You want to have people thinking that if I fail, the team has failed. And we were not put under that pressure. And England's bowling has been excellent. There's no question about that. We've got four very good bowlers in their conditions. I would say four of the best in their conditions. All very different, but all very effective. And really, you haven't seen the best of Archer and Wokes in this game yet.
Mm. Okay, more posts are being done. Roger Tracy is saying, we lack situational awareness as seen by how surprised Short Ball was that he was allowed to get that final over in today. Hope and Brathett didn't realize that Jamie Anderson was rushing through his over to get one more in. No middle talk, no gardening. We are not playing smart cricket. That came from Roger Tracy. Your response, KP. Talk to me about that.
Lack situational awareness. I mean, West Indies are so fried, to be honest. We've been in the field pretty much every day of the game. These things do tend to slip you when, obviously, when you're just that mentally out of it, you're tired. So I don't think it's necessarily lacking situational awareness. Because, as Roland said, it's not just the bowlers that are tired, because when the bowlers are bowling, the batters are on the field as well. So everybody's feeling the heat. Everybody's being exhausted. And three games back-to-back with only a three-day break after not having played not only just test cricket, but any sort of cricket from since March, we take the toll on the best of us, much less having to be in a situation fighting from the back all the time. So I think that's more so the situation than lacking situational awareness.
This is our post-match show. I'm Andrew Macy, your presenter. We've got Roland Butcher, of course, the former England batsman. We've also got Kieran Powell, who's looking to get back into the West Indies side, and Jonathan Carter, who's played for the West Indies, and although with a big performance in the upcoming regional competition, looking to get back into the West Indies side as well. Now, more postings. Here's John Williams. He says, let's be realistic. We are being beaten by a better side. We need to go back home and concentrate on our clear weaknesses and come again. That's you, Jonathan Carter. Do you agree?
Yes, it's a better side. Yes, England has probably a lot more experience than us. But I look at things like the first game that we won against mm-hmm. England. I look at how it was won, and I mean, people learn from mistakes. A lot of people take longer to learn from mistakes. Other people learn a lot faster. I think that we were outplayed in the last test match. Well, in the last test match and this first couple of innings, no. I think we were outplayed. As my good friend KP said, I think we are very tired. I think we look a very tired playing team. So there you have guys probably not concentrating as much. But at any day, as Skyron also said, we played cricket. We haven't played cricket since March. Anybody haven't played cricket since March. I mean, it's a tough ask for a team. I guess England has now caught their momentum. The West Indies is over. We're buying, but at any day, it's test cricket. 5 days of test cricket. I mean, anything can happen in between there. When you look at the first, I look back at the first test match. We basically dominated England. I was not hearing a lot of comments then. And I mean, we know that we are being outplayed, and we need to be behind our players and our teams a lot more. And instead of trying to break down things, that might be on it. I don't look at it any other way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, gentlemen, let's look back now at the start of the day. 137 for six. We're going to go to you, Roland Butcher. Holder played pretty well. And Dorwich, he was there. He got 37. Did Dorwich handle the shot ball a lot better today than he did before? The last, as you know, the last test match, he could have started a duck for him. He got two ducks. So are you saying when you look at him technically, was he better today, in your view, Roland Butcher?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't see a lot of Dorwich's innings. What I did see was his dismissal, which was obviously trying to pull a short ball. Obviously, Dorwich is a short man, and he has to find a way to play the short right and delivery against some fairly tall bowlers. Broad is a 6 foot plus bowler, gets the ball to bounce quite steeply when he wants to, and obviously Joe Farhacha has that uncanny ability to get the ball to bounce. So, Dorwich, basically, as we all know, he has to find a way of playing, and he managed to get 37 today. So, I guess, he would feel a little bit happier. The last game wasn't a great game for him, but that can happen to anybody. Don't forget the great player, Graham Gooch, in his very first test match. He got a pair as well. So, it's not something that signals the end of your career when you make the knock. You saw what happened to Gooch. Gooch went on to be one of the finest players, not just in England, but in the world. So, Dorwich knows he's got a lot of work to do. There is an area in his game that he has to improve, and he's got to work after it at the end of this series.
Mm. Jonathan, if you had to see Dorwich now, you play with him for Barbados. In fact, Barbados, of course, went on to win the championship this year. If you had to see Dorwich now, what would you say to him in relation to playing those short deliveries, Jonathan? Coach Jonathan.
Well, I spoke to him the night when he was not up with Vinay, and I told him, just bat and just be aggressive towards the aggression showed to us. Just show it, give it back. Don't be trapped. I don't want to say scared. I don't think he's scared. But at the end of the day, we use the words fight fire with fire. I don't think you remember Shane had a concussion just before he got back from Guyana. And he was replaced by Kevin in Guyana. Would play a part in actually being hit in your head again. So we're all human. But I've already spoken to Shane. I still have confidence in him. I think that he can bat really well. I think that is just, at the moment, it's just probably a one thing that he needs to get over. I know that he can get over it.
Mm-hmm. If you had to see him, KP, what would you say to him? A good hook and a puller.
As I said yesterday, I think Dorwich is a confidence player. And clearly he's suffering from his keeping, not being able to gather the ball because of all the movement after it passes the bat. So he's probably thinking about that and taking that into his batting. The short ball has always been a problem for Dorwich. This is nothing new. As Jonathan said, he got hit this season, but having said that, he was the West Indies' best batsman for the last 2 years as well.
Yes.
So he'd have gotten short balls in international cricket. He's been playing international cricket for 4 or 5 years. He's played against pretty much every team. There's no hiding from fast bowling in international cricket, especially test cricket, because bowlers are going to bowl long spells, they're going to bowl lots of they're going to go through different plans. So it's just for him to get his confidence back. And I think today went a long way towards doing that. Obviously, people are going to say today he got out pulling, but you can't necessarily look at that because of the situation in which he got out. And he was obviously trying to get back on strike or get a boundary to further the score because he's batting with Shannon Gabriel. I think if Jason had stayed there, if Jason didn't get out at that point, because he was looking good, and he basically weathered Archer, which was really important because then you'd have had Anderson coming, who's more of a fish up bowler, and taking that confidence into the rest of his innings, I think that he'd have played a pretty good innings. So I think tomorrow we might see the best of Dulwich for the series, because I think he's starting to get that confidence.
Talking about Dulwich, there's one for Roland Butcher coming from Leon Francis. It says, can the silver bat for Dulwich, Roland?
Well, the only way he can bat for Dulwich is if Dulwich is ruled out through a concussion player. I don't know what his status with mm-hmm. that. So until there's an announcement that Dulwich is out through concussion, then the silver cannot bat. So, Roger, sorry, we can't help you with that one, I'm afraid.
No, Roger Tracy's on your case again, Roland Butcher. He's saying most of our team has been playing since 2015 and mostly over 30 games. We are not inexperienced, Roland Butcher. England is an overrated team. They have lost 29 tests in the last 5 years. Sibley, Crawley, Burns, and Port are inexperienced. Sorry, we need to stop hiding behind inexperience and you. Your response, Roland Butcher, to that. Roger Tracy's on your case.
Yeah, it's pretty much of a mouthful. There's no talking about 30 test matches or 30 first class matches. England and England are not an overrated side. Anybody who goes there thinking that they're walking over in England, we get a rude awakening. So, Roger, very much in that area, once you're playing in England, you're very much in the contest. Yes, they have got young players, but if you look at these young players, look at their first-class records, you'll find that their first-class records are far superior to our young players. You know, the same Burns that you're talking about, Burns has been the number one run getter in England for about 5-6 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So he has learned his apprenticeship. Sibley is doing the same thing. Sibley has got a couple of hundreds in a very short international career. And Crawley is one of the up-and-coming young batsmen. Obviously, so is Port, who they've likened to Ian Bell with the expectation that he's going to be a better player than Ian Bell. And Ian Bell was not a bad player. So in terms of experience, you know, first-class cricket-wise, even though the England young players have got into the side, they're much more experienced than West Indian players in first-class cricket because, you know, they'll play 20, 30 games in a season, not just over 3 years. So, sorry, Mr. Tracy, but some of the things that you have said there, I can't really agree with you. You're not really hiding behind inexperience of youth. The England youth players are more experienced cricket-wise than the West Indians. And the fact is, you know, we have been outclassed in these last two games, and people have got to accept that. England didn't play their best in their first game. West Indies played well in the first game, but, you know, they've fought back, and, you know, their key players have produced. And that really is one of the issues where West Indies have been struggling physically. You know, England, their game has improved throughout these last two games.
Now, Jonathan, I'm going to come to you. We're going to start with Jonathan Carter. We're going to go to our commercial break very soon. A little bit later on, we're going to go into the West Indies dressing room. There was a bit of a celebration in relation to Kemal Roach. And we also had Courtney Walsh. When he picked up 200 wickets, congratulating him. Of course, you know, Walsh, the leading wicket taker of the West Indies by far, 519 test wickets. So we're going to get to that a little bit later on. But I'm going to start with you, Jonathan Carter. When you look at the two teams, we are into the last test match. Looks very much as if there's no rain. The West Indies could very well go on to lose this. What would you say are the major differences between the sides? England, they lost the first test match. They won the second. And it looks as if they're going to win the third. I'm going to start with you, Jonathan Carter. Our Barbados cricketer of the player for the West Indies as well. Then we're going to go to Roland Butcher, and then we're going to go to KP before we go to a break. Let's start with you. What are these differences, Jonathan Carter?
Do you want the differences from the first test to now?
Yes. In your view.
I think the difference between the two teams has been, more than anything else, they're bowling, England's bowling,
right.
The West Indies bowling. I think England's lengths were totally different. I think fitness is something that we can bring into play as well. I think the batting over the period, I think they had showed it to the opening batsman Sibley. He actually was getting out caught behind on the election more times than ever. And I think they showed him trying to lead the ball. I mean, all that is experience, as Mr. Butcher just said. All that is part of being experienced, you know, to change up something in the middle of a series. I think a few of the guys did that as well. And the whole, I think another huge difference between the sides is the whole aspect of confidence. I would draw a scenario where you would see guys come out and play freely in terms of Ben Stokes, who would come out and play the first sweep and dab, and you know what, you would hear that, oh, that's innovative. And I mean, for the time of West Indian, does it? It's not wise, it's not smart, it's bad batting. I mean, and I mean, believe it or not, guys, listen, the guys hear these comments. And being a batter and knowing that, or having the feeling of not being able to play your game. I mean, we all quite know Jermaine Blackwood. I think that he should not change the way how he's batting. He's batting very good at the moment. I think his shot selection probably gets him in trouble some. I mean, we always want to change the way how we play for the characters. We cannot play great like England. And I think that's the whole aspect of this, the whole thing. Like, we continue to play our aggressive way. And I think that's the difference. England is sticking to their roots. We just have this big door.
Mm-hmm. Roland Butcher.
What I would say, Andrew, is that I think since the first test, without a shadow of doubt, I think England has improved in every department. Their batting has improved. The bowling has improved. The fielding has improved. And I think generally, you know, the overall cricket has improved. So there has always been on the up from the first game. While I think to some degree, our game has been in decline from the first game. You know, we've seen the team really up for it in the first game. You know, bowling well, everything going well, taking the catches, getting some runs, winning the game, everything on a high. And really since then, what we have seen is energy sacked away, bowling not with the same sort of hostility as the first game. And as the games have dragged on, you know, even to the point where, you know, the fielding at times has become a little bit ragged today, you know, late in the day, you know, our fielding wasn't great, lots of misfields. So I think while England have been improving every area of their game, the same cannot be said for our game, and it's fairly disappointing, and I think the players will be disappointed in that as well, that they have not been able to maintain those standards throughout the short series.
Oh, just before we go to KP, Roger Tracy again says Sibley, Pope and Crawley are all 22 years. And we also have another one coming in saying, broad, see what a drop can do for you. Of course, you're going to get to that a little bit later on. But let's go now to Kieran Paul. What are the major differences? A very interesting position coming there from Johnson Carter and from Roland Butcher. Let's hear what you've got to say in relation to that.
I think clearly the first match obviously took a lot out of the West Indies to go and win that match. They sort of exhausted themselves mentally, physically, everything to try and obtain that victory. I think also the batting has been the main difference. Obviously, England has continued to improve. They've gotten bigger and bigger scores. And the West Indies, our batting hasn't really kept that same momentum from the first game. Obviously, we're getting lots of half centuries, but we're not converting. And I think that's the major difference, where you have for example, Stokes and Sibley in the second match getting hundreds, where as we're getting 50. So, you know, when you add our three half centuries up, it's just Stokes' score. So having to chase 400, 450, whatever it is in the first innings, and you're putting up 200, you're always going to be behind the eight ball. And that's going to lead to the bowlers doing extra work, which is going to lead to the batters being in the field for longer and batting with tired legs every single time. So I think it's solely down to the batting. The batting, especially in Test cricket, is what sets up victories. Obviously, the bowling wins matches, but we haven't really set up matches from since our first match.
No, another comment. Excellent assessment by Mr. Jonathan Carter. This man is very formal, Jonathan. He says, we need to have an identity and play to that philosophy. So let me read that again before we go to a break. Excellent assessment by Mr. Jonathan Carter. We need to have an identity and play to that philosophy. Gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be also looking at Kemar Roach. I know, Jonathan, you're in an excellent position to talk about him. 200 wickets now. We're going to get a reaction from Courtney Walsh, and we're going to be going inside the West Indies dressing room as well, because the coach, Phil Simmons, and some of the players were congratulating him. And this, of course, is our post-match show. I'm Andrew Mason. We've got Roland Butcher, former England batsman, with us. We've got Kieran Paul, who, of course, is looking to get back in to the West Indies team. And Jonathan Carter is going to be making a big, big statement this year when Barbados retained the championship. I understand it's going to be starting later on. He is looking to get back into the West Indies team. We're going to pause for business calls. We'll be back in a minute.
The most powerful medium on the...
First man in West Indies cricket from this small country. To your ability you have made it, and all the Tegans are proud of you. Now don't let us down, Booty boy, and do what you have to do. When you're bowling volleyball, remember it's duty's call. When you're bowling volleyball, bowl and make them wickets fall. When you're bowling volleyball, bowl like a devil ever you may be. Remember, you're bowling for all of we. Throughout the years, we had plenty talented men, and Samson, Baba, Sligo, Tufts, and all the rest of them. There was no opportunity for them before their career they had to stop. It's different with you and the boys. Stay up, stay up, stay up. Now when you're bowling volleyball, remember it's duty's call. When you're bowling volleyball, bowl and make them wickets fall. When you're bowling volleyball, bowl like a devil ever you may. You're bowling for all of we.
All right, we're back. I'm Andrew Mason, your host, and of course we are doing the Vibes Cricket Summit. Thanks to our friends at Vibes Radio there in Dominica, taking over the entire Dominica, and soon you're going to be getting some very big news in relation to Vibes. Doing a wonderful job. Thanks to our good friend Derry, who would have played some under-19 cricket for the Dominica team, and of course his wonderful team, Lennox Lawrence, leading that team there. We want to thank you for your good work. Thanks to Jason and company behind the scenes, that we're being viewed by a lot of people across the world and also listened to on radio. Now, yesterday, we were talking about Kemar Roach. Now, this is a man who's had his challenges with injuries. He's come back. I remember Kemar Roach a couple of years ago, is it what, 31, 32 now. I was doing a local game at Carlton in Black Rock, and Kemar Roach was playing for Maple. By the way, a site that is now demoted. And I'll never forget, I was doing the commentary, and this young guy was bowling very sharp, and I encouraged people to come to Black Rock to see him bowl, because, as you know, in Barbados, we do the local commentaries. And ever since then, he really has done extremely well. We know what happened when he bowled at Ponting in Australia. Of course, when the IPL started, he went for a whole set of money. And over the years, he's done a wonderful job for the West Indies team, has been the lead bowler for some time. Now, yesterday, when he got rid of Wokes, it gave him 200 test wickets. And interestingly enough, it's the first time since 1994 that we've had a West Indian bowler getting 200 test wickets. That's a startling stat, and I would hope that this can change. What I can tell you is that a man who's picked up 519 wickets, Courtney Andrew Waltz, the ambassador in Jamaica for the land of wood and water, congratulated Kemar Roach. Listen to what he had to say.
Hi, congratulations, Kemar. Well done. I'm so happy I'm proud of you. And the sky's the limit. You deserve it. Well played. Hard work does pay off. And I know how hard you've been working in the last couple of years to get to this level of milestone. I think you can get to that 200 club. So keep working hard to achieve, you know, your other goals. But congratulations on this mammoth effort. Don't stop here, buddy. Enjoy the game. Enjoy working with your team. And most importantly, you know, set that standard. Try to get to 300. Get up there. And then when you get there, you can think about something else after. But enjoy while you're playing. You know, well deserved. Congratulations again. And as I say, don't just stop here. Keep going.
So Courtney Andrew Waltz, the ambassador in Jamaica. What a wonderful fast bowler he was. Of course, he would have been in harness with Curtly Ambrose, who is also now Sir Curtly Ambrose. And my word, they formed a very good attack. And Walsh would have had an opportunity to play with some of the greats like Malcolm Marshall and company. Now, Jonathan Carter, we're going to start with you. You play with Kemar Roach. In fact, he was very much a part of a winning side for the Barbados team this year. Barbados swept everything in the regional competition in terms of that four-day competition. And we want to hear from you. How good is Kemar Roach as a bowler? Jonathan, can you tell us? Where is Jonathan Carter? Can we have Jonathan Carter? Has he gone to St. Andrew where he was born? All right. Seems as if we missed Jonathan Carter. Where is Jonathan? Where have you gone, Jonathan? Did you go to the East Coast to get some of those passports?
I don't think passports are anywhere in
the world. Oh, they're not enough. Okay, I love that.
I don't think so.
All right. Now, talk to us about Kemar Roach.
I've grown up in Kemar Roach. Played lots and lots of the different from under 13 straight up to West Indies cricket. Kemar has always had that fire in his life. Kemar always knew that he wanted to be a successful fast bowler. He always knew what he wanted and he always went for it. To see him achieve something so great. The only other fast bowler to achieve 200 test wickets with the last person was Courtney Walk.
Yeah.
Correct. So, I mean, for him to do that at this, for me to know him, I was not really surprised, to be honest. And the thing is about it, he missed quite a few games of test cricket as well. Kemar always used to bowl fast. He used to always have the ability to swing the ball. And he's always been working on his game, trying to improve his game. Sorry that I was not there with him to share the moment, Andrew. But I think he deserves it. I think he has worked very, very hard to achieve what he has achieved. And I think he's quite fit. And I think he has a lot more to offer in terms of West Indies cricket as well. As you see, we have a lot of youngsters, a young players coming up. And I think Kemar is a guy, but I know Kemar is a guy that will acquire his knowledge on the youngsters He did it this season playing for Barbados. So I know he's doing it right now with the West Indies. And for him to do it in that fashion, remember he started out the first test match. And I don't think he had any wickets in the first test match. Ended up with a five for, I know, 200 wickets. So I'm not surprised that it's not.
Yeah, very happy for him. We want to congratulate him here on the post-match show. Let's go to KP now. KP, have you been dismissed several times by Kemar, knocking your fumble to the ground?
I think I'm probably one of the only left-handers that he doesn't really have a good record against.
Oh, really? Lincoln, check the stats.
You, I'm taking for there. You could check the stats.
I will.
I've known Kemar from since under 15 days. So we've actually played lots of cricket against and together. And obviously to get to 200 test wickets, being the first West Indian for 26 years, I think you said it was. It's a massive achievement. It's a massive achievement for him, for West Indies cricket. Obviously, he's had lots of setbacks in terms of being a terrible fast bowler, being injured, having to do rehab on his shoulder, having to redevelop himself, and to come through all of that on the other side and still have that will and that desire to continue to fight and push through all these different things and to get to this landmark. I think he's definitely underrated. I don't think that West Indian players get the kind of gratification that they deserve. Globally, I think that, you know, players, the Trent Bolts, the Hazelwoods and all of these, obviously, they have bigger media houses in the countries that they're from pushing them. But I think that if you look at Roach's stats and his rankings throughout ICC, especially when Otis Gibson was the coach, and he was in the top 10 for, I think, three to four years consistently. And now he's been in the top 20 from since he's been batting for the West Indies consistently as well. So he's proved to be a very good bowler internationally and a very underrated bowler. So I think that what he's done is good for him. It obviously sets the pathway for West Indian bowlers to continue to strive to achieve. I think Shannon Gabriel is probably the next one up to that sort of milestone, given the amount of wickets that he has now, and Jason Holder as well. And hopefully we could start bringing through more and more players that achieve these milestones as well. Because once the bowling is strong, the batting will invariably get stronger as well. And the West Indies will be able to start competing to be a stronger team.
Roland Butcher.
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, congratulations to Kemar. We spoke to him a couple of days ago. So congratulating. I was just a great achievement. Something richly deserved. You know, he's been a champion bowler for a long time. Years ago, obviously, he was much more quicker than he is now. But following injuries and obviously being out in sight, he's come back a much more disciplined bowler. And in many ways, a better bowler, because, you know, he relies more on skill than pace. In the old days, he would bowl fast and full, look to get people out bowled with a natural in swing. These days, much more thoughtful in that he tries to work the batsman out, works on his technique. So to have achieved 200 test wickets is really a fantastic achievement. And what we really need to do, you know, we can't just look to depend on Kemar forever, because we need to get some other bowlers coming through. Because, you know, he's in his 30s. While he might be able to continue for a few years at that level, we need to have people challenging him, and I would hope that the young fast bowlers we got around would not, first of all, be very respectful that he lost 200 wickets, but I think really they need to be looking to push hard to get into the side. If that doesn't happen over a period of time, you know, it could be a long recovery period for the West Indies. Just take a little look at England. While there was huge optimism before the series started, particularly by West Indian supporters, a lot of us underestimated the 1,000 wickets taken by Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson. Mm-hmm. Broad is about to celebrate his 500 wickets if he gets one more. And in the wings, you know, they've got 3, 4, 5 fast bowlers with it. So that's the situation we need to get to. Here, congratulate Kumar on a fantastic performance. But I think there's a bigger picture here, and we need to work on the bigger picture.
Indeed. Okay, just before we go into the West Indies dressing room, and we can look at the celebrations, Answers Iris is saying the West Indies team must be more consistent if they are going to have an impact. Campbell Hope should have been dropped for the third test, and I suspect Gabriel is tired. Now, Roger says Phil Simmons has not impressed me. He believes in names, Roland Butcher. Look at me, Roland, because I'm going to come to you with this. And he's making the comment that he should have the confidence to play a young Shimon Holder, and he did not. So we're going to get your comments as far as that is concerned. And the guy is also saying, Piper seemed more clear in his plan last year, and he is also making the comment, I did not support the appointment of Phil Simmons. Now, that is a hot, hot potato, and I'm going to not engage, of course, our good friend Jordan Carter in this, or our very good friend Kieran Powell. I'm going to go to a man who can handle such a question. Roland, that question is for you, my friend.
Well, I mean, what is the question? I mean, he has made lots of comments there, his opinion, so... Who am I to say that he cannot have his opinion? He's placed his opinion on record.
Going to set up a meeting as well. I'm going to set up a meeting with you and Roger Tracy.
Well, there are many opinions he's put there on the record, so they're there for all to see. There's not much I can add to that. So, Roger, sorry, I can't help you here. I mean, maybe you're not expecting me to help you, but you put your opinion very clearly out there.
Indeed, and he continues. And what we also want to do before we go to the celebrations, we want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, on this Sunday afternoon. The weather, by the way, is absolutely brilliant. I prepared for this big storm that was supposed to come. I bought all my sardines and my tuna like Jonathan Carter. I was going to go down the East Coast and get some fat forks, but the wind was howling, so I didn't do that. So it's absolutely brilliant here in Barbados, and I imagine it's good weather as well there, KP, in England, where you are, in London. Is it good weather? I'm not hearing you, KP. You don't want to talk to me? Where have you gone all of a sudden? I'm not hearing KP.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, it's perfect weather. Nice, crisp breeze. The sun's actually still up at 9 o'clock, so good summer day.
All right, good, wonderful. Time to get your second dinner. Let's go into the West Indies dressing room now, gentlemen. And a celebration. Kemal Roach, a man from deep in rural Barbados, is from the parish of St. Lucie. Barbados' only female parish. Come from a parish that has produced the Prime Minister, of course, Errol Walton Barrow. You know, Sir Charlie Griffith comes from that as well. A lot of Barbadian players have also come from St. Lucie. You know, Henderson Roach is certainly from St. Lucie. He would have played on the 19th cricket. Of course, Henry Brand, who is very much a part of the Barbados setup, he's also from there. And St. Lucie is a very special parish. Let's go inside and look at the celebrations for Kemal Roach.
I'm sorry. Catching all those chasing the balls, all those, like, this is
happy to have you guys around and to share this moment with this bunch of fellas. It's a good feeling. So keep going, keep fighting, and hopefully get 100 more for you guys.
All right, there you have it. We went inside and got to Kira Roach, of course, happy that he's done so very well. And, of course, we saw Phil Simmons, who seems to have put on a bit of weight there in England. He used to train, really. Oh, my golly. And have you seen Robbie Estwick? That's not a good example. You got to get these fellas fit. You agree with that, Keith, KP? Guys have put on some weight there. What do you think?
Yes.
We're not hearing you, KP. Yes, we're hearing you.
I think I had a wonderful run today, and I'm fit and ready to go. That's my position.
We're not going to ask you that, Jonathan Carter, very slim man. Of course, he trains very heavily in the league. Jonathan, let's look back at the start of the day. 147 for loss of six. The West Indies Jonathan would have had to have bat a long, long time, and that did not happen at all. Jonathan?
Hi. I didn't see the first session. I think the only time Waldo was not out, right?
Yes, they were not out.
I didn't see how Jason got out. I saw how Sheen got out.
Jason was out leg before to Broad. And I also want to ask you, as a batsman, and we know that you don't get leg before, you've got a bat that is as broad as San Andrew where you're from, so none of that hit your pads. I'm concerned, Jonathan Carter, that many of our batsmen are getting leg before. Why is this? Can you tell me?
I probably can't tell you why. I could probably try to tell you. I could probably give you a breakdown of some of the batsmen's thinking.
Okay.
As I said earlier, remember, I think Broad was the person given the most trouble in this test match, in this last test match. And if you look at the length that Stuart Broad hit, it's an in-between length, and you either have to commit and be there like on your front foot as early as possible, or you have to play back and play as straight as possible. I think that the in-between length is that ball that has been giving us a lot of problems. Hence why we see a lot of back foot cricket. I can't really explain to you why we are getting LBW so often. But from what I've seen, I think that in-between length has been giving our batsmen a lot of trouble. And a perfect example perfect example is Jermaine Blackwood, who plays a lot of back foot cricket, but he hits the ball a lot straighter. From what I'm seeing, most of our guys probably go around the ball, and that's the reason he presents less back face and he missed the ball. Wherein Blackwood's back face is a lot straighter than everyone else's. So that's my opinion. I think Jermaine is perfect example for a guy playing on the back foot who plays the ball a lot straighter.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jonathan, someone here sent me a WhatsApp. I'm going to read it. Ask Jonathan Carton, by the way, they're very, very impressed with you, very, very much impressed with you in relation to your comments. They want to know from you if you agreed with the final 11 for the third test.
They want to know if I agreed with the final 11.
No. In other words, it's not a funny question. Just think about it. Were you in agreement with the final 11? Because, you know, Cornwall came in. Some people felt that perhaps they would have gone with the extra fast bowler. What would you have done?
I think I basically answered this question earlier when I said I basically don't look back at things that should have been done or stress on what we have done. I mean, Cornwall is recognized for we could easily say he's the best thing we care. You had Roston playing all the time. Some call him a part-time spinner, some think that he should have been there. The selectors thought that adding Cornwall would have probably added a little stability to the city ball in terms of variation or variety, whatever you want to call it. I have no problem with that selection. I see nothing wrong with it. If Al-Zahir would have played it, I have no problem with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be played.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, Jeremy, we've got another 5 minutes left on the show. We want to thank, of course, you for your comments. Jonathan Carter, we hope to have you back again soon. And, of course, Roland Butcher as well. And a very, very, very good friend there who is not in Sugar City. KP is very much in London with his very beautiful wife. I saw a picture of her. I think you got up on your WhatsApp. Very pretty lady. Is that your wife there on WhatsApp? It's a wonderful lady. Is that your wife? I'm not hearing you, KP. Turn your mic on. Talk to the world, please.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear from Sugar City to London.
She's actually in the background, and she's listening to you, and she's just started laughing.
Can you just put her on there, please? Just tell her to come. We want to see her. Where is she, please? Oh, my God. Everybody wants to see your wife. Would you go closer to her? Tell me if you'll do that.
She's just ran out of the room.
She's out of the room, Jonathan Carter. She's out of the room. Can you imagine that? All right, Jason. We hope to see her next time. In the final 5 minutes of this show, gentlemen, the West Indies are in more trouble than the world economy. The West Indies are in the doghouse. They got a bat onto the cows and the pigs and the dogs and the sheep and the goats come home. And the scoreboard tells the story. I'm going to go for a final comment from you, gentlemen. The West Indies batting poorly in consistency. 197, 10 for 2. England 369. And they batted very quickly, 58 overs, 226 for 2. They made the declaration. So, according to the fourth day, we got a situation where already we've lost 2 wickets. Let's start with you, Roland Butcher. Can the West Indies give this big and dark hole? Can you tell me?
Well, Andrew, there's always a chance of getting out of the hole, but certain things will have to fall into place in order for that to happen. I think, really, for West Indies to get out of the position they're in right now, they will require certainly some assistance from the elements. And a lot of assistance from the elements. I think if you get full 2 days clear, the likelihood is that they will not be able to escape from the position that they're in, because the score, nearly 400 runs, the highest score of the game in the final innings. And don't forget, what we've had so far the first 3 days, that was the best on the pitch. So you've got the worst of the pitch to come in the next couple of days, which is not going to work very much in your favour. Really, we're going to need a tremendous amount of luck. We're going to need some help from the elements, really, to escape the position that we're in now. We're in a very difficult situation. We've lost 2 wickets before the close of play. So we've got 2 days to go. The odds are very much, obviously, against the West Indies. And, you'd have to be a very, very strong-minded guy if you had some money to go and put on the West Indies at this point in time. And, if you've got that amount of money to do that, I would perhaps suggest that you give something to me as well, because it would mean that you're a bit of a gambler and you like taking chances. So take a chance on me as well.
All right. Let's go to KP. Talk to me.
No, we can't. Unless there's some assistance. Well, as I said, 3 days of rain, I don't see how we deliver. You're asking to break a world record, and whilst I'm not saying that we can't break a world record, it's just the odds are more in favor of us not being able to get past this than being able to overhaul the situation. But I think, having said that, the last two series between these two teams, it's going to turn out to be 3-1 by each side and 3 lost by each side. So I think both sides are level, and I think the next time England tour the Caribbean,
for the Richards Bolton Trophy award, and I think it'd be an interesting series in the making, having the history of the last two series and somewhat of a rivalry building up between England and the West Indies again.
Mm-hmm. Final words with you, Jonathan Carter. Can we go to this big hole?
Anything is possible as a money being an angel. And, you know, over the last couple of years, I've changed my thinking. Well, I've worked on my thinking, trying to be more positive. And we were in a similar situation with Barbados. I don't know if you remember, Andrew, when we needed 320, something runs in the last day.
Mm.
We got home with like 2 hours to spare. I think this is the time for the West Indies team, the West Indies batsmen, to show what they have. Records are made to be broken. You know, try to have your personal best.
Mm-hmm.
We have guys in the batting lineup who have double hundreds. We have guys who had first class hundreds. Right down to Rakim Karma, you would know that, KP. It's a beautiful time to shine, Andrew. It's a time to shine. I think it's a very hard task. I think it's a very, very hard task. But at the end of the day, the way how I would see it is that this is a perfect time for me, you know, to showcase my talent, to show what I have, you know, to grab a personal best. For some, it might be to jump up the ICC ranking. You know, just look at it as your time for personal best. Like, that's the way how I try to take on, right? I wouldn't mind seeing Shea Hope score 150. It's not beyond him. Like, I wouldn't mind to see Dulwich score 120. You know, it's quite possible in my opinion. But as my fellow commentators, I right now say it's quite an uphill task, but I still believe in miracles.
In miracles. Well, of course, I think it's a matter of faith, really, gentlemen. And there's got to be a lot of that for the West Indies to win this test match. And I would imagine, too, that we may have to get some Joseph Nel's gospel rain. And from Kingston, Jamaica, to Bridgetown, Barbados, we're going to be praying. And you know what the mighty Gabby said? Lord, send an answer for me. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's open for a bye tomorrow. It's goodbye for now.
You've just heard the Vibes Summary, West Indies versus England, a production of Vibes Radio, the champion station. Join us again for more.
There you have it. We have come to the end of the show. We just invite you to be back with us at 6 p.m. when we have our cricket show. The number to call us is 1-515-615-9850. So join us at 6 when we have our annual cricket show. Good night.
Remember, it's